I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, you know what? I couldn't tell you how many times down through the years we have talked about the Everyman Sunday songbook on this show. And I never tire of it because every single time it's a different discussion. Every single time it's a different show. And every single time it's a pleasure to talk to Linda Kenny. And more recently, her comrade in arms or mischief, Alf McCarthy. And in fact, the two of them called into the kitchen at home to myself and Connor a couple of weeks ago to record this piece for the upcoming Everyman Sunday Songbook celebration of Neil Sedaka. And while we were setting up the mics and getting ready to chat, like, the two of them were just messing the whole time, like brother and sister. And we've often talked about how, as a team, they just have a brilliant bond altogether.
We actually call ourselves the GSS family because that's what we feel like. So when we travel to the concert hall, because it's a lunchtime event and it's in a smaller venue, we don't have the full family. And then when we go to other theatres, bigger theatres, we have everyone. Yeah. And so this weekend, actually, we have the joy of both. So we're going to the National Concert Hall doing the story of Dean Martin on Friday, and it's just our core group. And then on Sunday we're reunited with everyone, the whole family, on Sunday because we're doing the story. We're kicking off our mini Neil Sedaka tour in the Civic in Tala, and we are just buzzing.
And the wonderful thing is that both venues are booked out.
Yeah,
you know, which is great. It makes a difference. You just mentioned there about the crack. Cathal McCabe, who writes and directs for us, said at one stage, I give you the script. That's my best Cathal McCabe. It's coming across like Richard Nixon. I am not a crook. at one stage, we were actually in the Civic, and he came down and he says, he doesn't say, oh my God, but he went, oh, now I see it come alive. Oh. And he says, I give you the script, but then you do something with it. And he was looking at the audience reaction. Would have been maybe the first time we were in the Civic. And we kind of went, oh yeah, but sure, we do that all the time, right? Because we're having fun, you know? It really is a...
I suppose, now to be fair, you know, okay, we're going to be 20 years next year in the Everyman, and we're a couple of years with audiences now in Dublin. And so we have a lot of regular people coming, or they're bringing people with them. So there is, we don't have to work as hard, you know what I mean? There is an expectation and an anticipation of, oh yeah, this is going to be good now. And so that makes us relax, which obviously helps with our performance, and we have the crack on stage, and then that translates into them. And so we have just a wild time. You know, it will be wild.
Oh, yeah.
It always is. But, like, you know, Sky Arts, for example, that channel has a whole series of documentaries all the time, like discovering Doris Day or discovering whoever. And they tell the story, they go through the story of everybody's lives, but it's in a very sort of commentary way. And that's grand and it suits television. But what you guys do is you take all of these amazing huge stars and tell their story and weave it all in with amazing music from this golden era of stuff. And Neil Sedaka, I suppose, is that a kind of a departure from the idols of the silver screen? Although he does have, like, Hollywood Walk of Fame star and that sort of stuff.
I would never say the starting premise was Hollywood screen idols. I would have always said we celebrate the lives of movie and musical icons in song and in story. That would be kind of my coverall sentence to give an idea of what we actually do. So he's not that much of a departure. But he was a big sell to me. Alf is a big fan, and I was saying, well, I kind of only kind of know him, but in actual fact, he's amazing, isn't he?
Well, when you say I'm a big fan, like, I wouldn't go that far. I'm more a blues man myself, right? But you know, having worked in the radio industry and played music, and my dad used to have his own band, and in 1957 his
Buddy
name
Mac.
Was Buddy Mac, Down the Ark. So he was doing the big band stuff before the Dixies came. The Dixies were the next lot, you know. But my father's hand had been squashed, so that was the end of Headstone fell in it. So that was the end of his music career, and he was a stonecutter as well. At that time, I remember looking in his music sheets of music, and he had just bought, because he wanted to get modern stuff, the Neil Sedaka songbook. You know, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, all that. And I'm going, oh yeah, Dad is now picking up on this. So he, in 1957, was realising that there's a talent out there writing lots of music, and he was going to incorporate it into what he was doing. So, like, from my own point of view, what I'm saying is that I was aware of Neil Sedaka going way back.
Well, the thing about Neil Sedaka, he's known as, in the Guinness Book of Hit Singles or something, he's known as the man who put the tra-la-la into pop music.
Okay.
And he and his long-standing writing partner, who happened to live on the floor above him in the apartment complex where he grew up, they were writing songs from what age? He was 13.
He was 13 when he started, and his neighbour was up.
Howard Greenfield.
Yeah, yeah. So Greenfield Sedaka became almost like a stamp of approval within the music industry because, oh, it's a new song by Greenfield Sedaka.
Yeah.
They were only kids.
They were 13 and 16 when they started. Like, the thing about Sedaka is that he actually won a scholarship to Juilliard when he was 8.
Yeah, yeah. He was a classical pianist.
The mother already wanted him to be a classical pianist. Of course we'll get the piano. We couldn't afford anything.
And so her thing was, like, that he was going to go and play Tchaikovsky. That he was going to play Beethoven and things like that. But he realised that nobody in school wants to hear about Beethoven or Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
And so
I think you were right. Peter Tchaikovsky Russian.
But that all they wanted to hear was, you know, pop music. So,
yeah.
But the thing about Sedaka is that while he'd be known for things like
Laughter in the Rain, I think, is the one I think of all the time.
But that was actually
that's
a
later. No, you see.
Yeah. See, I read the script too.
He had to reinvent himself.
Yeah. So let's start.
Let's play Sedaka. Okay. You start.
So Sedaka and Greenfield started writing music, and they were very specific in how they set about. Like, they would actually study music, and they'd say, what made that a number one? I mean, what were the guitarists that they used? What was the transition in musical terms? What were the themes? What kind of, you know, phraseology or rhyming did they do? And so they finessed their product.
They went looking for a formula.
And they basically said, if we can't find a word that rhymes, we'll put in the...
This ooby dooby doo or the tra la la, you know. So they'd go, she loves you, whatever it is, tra la la, la 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 la. So, and then that would stay in the song or whatever. So
breaking up is hard to do, like tra la la la.
Dum, dooby, oh, yeah, sorry. Dum, bow. Yeah. See, I'm here to save you, darling.
I think it's tra la 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 la. No, that's Happy Birthday.
That's the other one.
Obviously came into all of them.
Actually, yeah. And they worked in the Brill Building. The Brill Building in New York was this famous building that was, if you like, a pressure cooker for songwriters. And the idea is that you went in with your song, you hired a room, and all that was in the room was literally a piano. There may not even have been a table. So piano in a chair, sit down, and they pump away at the ideas.
Hit factory.
A hit factory. Mm. And then you took your song and you went to the pluggers and they'd say, okay, so-and-so might be interested in this. And they'd get somebody along then who would sing those songs. And Connie Francis was a young girl at the time, and she used to plug songs, you know.
Well, like, actually, she went in because George Check, her producer, came in and said, look, I have this girl, she's just had a great hit with Who's Sorry Now. And he said, can you write her something? So they threw their best songs at her, and she was like, yawn. And then as she was leaving, they said, just play the other one. And they were going, we can't play her that. That's rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they played her first few bars of Stupid Cupid, and she said, you've just played my next number one.
Stupid Cupid, you're a real mean guy. I'd like to clip your wings so you can fly. Stupid Cupid. I'm in love and it's a crying shame. Stupid Cupid. And I know that you're the one to blame. Stupid Cupid.
Yeah, so like the thing about Neil Sedaka, even though I knew about Solitaire and I knew Breaking Up Is Hard to Do and Calendar Girl and O'Carroll and that, he actually wrote for so many big names, like really big hits. Like, Is this the way to Amarillo?
Tony Christie's one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote that.
Yeah.
But nobody associates it with him, you know what I mean?
They all think it's like Tony Christie's song. Yeah.
Show me the way to.
You said there a minute ago when I was saying Laughter in the Rain, you went, oh, that came later.
Yeah.
That came around.
In the 50s into the 60s, they were writing all these songs.
Yeah.
And also Sedaka was a recording artist himself. So he was a very pretty, handsome young man. He had all these hit singles, could play the piano, like he had talent.
He made an absolute fortune. He was probably the biggest selling artist of his day.
He would have been, yeah. Yeah. And
lived
then,
in Central
then
what Park.
Happened? The Beatles arrived in America. So the whole music industry changed. And the Trada days were, in fact, over.
The Beatles killed it.
Yeah. For him. Particular.
Because this idea of someone sitting at piano and singing doobie doobie, it was like elevator music.
Yeah.
And suddenly his record company said,
no,
you know, we're not interested. And he had to, you know, he lost the house, he lost the car.
Yeah.
He got into the taxi. What's that line in the taxi?
Yeah, the great line is, hey, didn't you used to be Neil Sedaka? You know? Yeah, I know that taxi man. He says the same thing to me.
Wow.
Didn't you used to be
Oh my
McCarthy?
Gosh.
Yeah. So desperate for him. So he actually emigrated to the UK. And, you know, when he got to the UK, he was kind of a nobody in their terms, and he was playing working men's clubs.
I mean, think about it, you know, up in Bradford and all these places, going into, you know.
What's wrong with Bradford?
Sorry.
I object on behalf of the people of Bradford.
And my mother used to say, spitty men's clubs, he'd go into, you know, and they'd be all mumbling in their pints and all this kind of stuff, and he'd be pumping out his songs, and they'd know maybe one or two. And then he met Elton John, of all people.
At a party.
And Elton John said, what are you doing in here? And then he was telling him, he just could not believe that Neil Sedaka, who would have been an inspiration to Elton John in the early days, because he was a piano player as well, was doing this. So Elton had just started a record company or a record label. And he said, okay, write for me.
And he even offered to do backing vocals for him on his first few albums.
Stop.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
So that was like a new beginning then, you know?
I think if people listening to this can pick up on a fraction of the enthusiasm that the two of you have for sharing the story. And the reason I'm stepping in, right, is because...
Yeah, because we're talking too much.
No, well...
Yeah, so...
Well, you are.
I know.
But... No, seriously, I don't want you to give the whole thing away.
There's more.
I know you're kind of skimming over a lot of bits there, but that's the whole point of coming along to the Everyman.
Yeah.
For this concert in this series, because you do give all the details. You do sing the songs. You do.
We do project the lyrics, and people are singing all night long. And I think that's the thing. I mean, it's very hard to say it's a concert because I don't think it's a concert.
Is it?
Yeah, no, and I think it's kind of a show. It's more theatrical. And then, you know, there were times, you know, like, for example, in Vera Lynn, Alf is from London, you know, he talks like this. And then there are times when he's, you know, in Dino, you'll probably have your American accent, will you?
No, I'm playing it straight.
Are you straight?
Dino. But in Sinatra, I was a barman from Hoboken in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, talking about Frankie, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And in the last one we did, in the Bobby Darin story, I had a character as well. That's so sometimes it's the character, sometimes it's me.
Yeah, you know? But it's fun to kind of colour it like that, isn't it? And just throw it in. And also the audience love that because it brings another level.
Yeah.
So
I'll be at a very low level.
It's our level, dear.
This is true.
Yeah. But the wonderful thing also is that when we go on stage, is like you were saying, there we have this enthusiasm for the shows, but we have a great affection for each other.
Yeah.
And that comes across big time, you know. And I keep saying to you and to Damien and to Alan, I'm blessed in that here I am sitting on the Everyman stage, a stage that I adore. And I can sit back and look at my friends.
We're singing, the blessed ones.
Because they're the best ones on stage. This is where she jumps in and says, oh, no, Elf, it's you. No, but seriously, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, it's not work. It's a pleasure to be doing these shows.
And, you know, like, even the guys in the band and Yvonne backstage and Cahal, like, we've all worked with each other forever, like we really have. You know, we have all known each other for years, so there is that kind of familiarity and comfortability and joy at actually being able to do something. And I suppose that's the thing for me as I get older and as I go on, the thing that I love most about what I do is really just the joy that music brings and the healing potential of it. Alf and I are doing this gorgeous thing with our friend Dave O'Sullivan, and we had Maurice Healy with us the other day as well. It's called the Down Memory Lane Cafe, spearheaded by Yvonne Maloney and her team at the library in Douglas Library. And it's so joyous just to do something that gives a lift, and it's totally free, and people come and they have a cup of tea.
It's
and
the first Wednesday of every month.
Yes, it is the first Wednesday of every month in Douglas Library. And do you know, it's just about reminiscing and singing and freedom and engagement and social inclusion. And that's the lovely thing about even doing our shows for us as well. Like connection is the key for everyone.
I could have the two of you on for hours, lads. Hours and hours and hours. Pick a Neil Sedaka song, so, to finish off with. How do you dig into that?
Well, it depends what period of Neil Sedaka we're going for. Do you want to go for the classical period? The earlier period, you're talking about Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16. In the later period, you're talking about the beautiful song Solitaire, or you're
Amarillo.
Amarillo itself.
Or Calendar Girl.
Calendar
Laughter
Girl.
In the Rain.
Or Laughter in the Rain, which is a lovely song. You know, so whatever you like.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah,
guys, thanks a million.